What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Welcome to the podcast. Today, we find out why Plymouth Plantation has now changed their name, because that's just what happens. There's a new movement out to change our national anthem as well. We'll give you the odd choices that we can select from. We also go into the nuclear family. This is something that's being opposed by Black Lives Matter. And by the way, that is in their documentation, not something I'm just speculating about. And we talked to the head of a college who has decided to take a strong pro-life stance. You don't see this very often. It's an amazing one to hear. And is Texas and other southern states going the wrong way on coronavirus? What is life like? Where is it going in the future? We'll get into that as well. It's all on the podcast today. And tonight we have back-to-back Stu Does America at 8 p.m. Eastern, followed by Glenn Beck and his wonderful program at 9 p.m. Eastern, only on Blaze TV. Go to blazetv.com/Glenn. If you use the promo code SAVETHEFAMILY, you can get $20 off. We'll get into that as well. You can also subscribe to this podcast and rate and review it. We'd really appreciate that. Makes a big difference because, you know, the algorithm robots like to fight against us unless people rate and review the program. So please do that so other people can find the show and the word can be spread. And also do the same on Stu Does America's page. Here's the podcast.
You're listening to the best of the Glenn Beck program.
Pat Gray joins us now with another fact of history that has just been changed, and most people don't even know.
Yeah, hi, Glenn. By the way, glad to see you're rocking the ascot again today. It's comforting. It's somehow comforting.
It's a mask. Yeah. It's a mask.
Yeah, I will say in the COVID era,
does it
now,
double
it's
as
pretty
a,
common.
Is that what you use it for?
A little bandana situation.
We were wondering. We were thinking, okay, it's an ascot, but is it also a mask? And I guess the answer is yes.
No, it's a bandana, actually. I know you have a hard time with those, but go ahead.
I do. I have an even harder time with this. Plymouth Plantation changed their name. Not that they're changing their name. It's already been changed. The Plymouth Plantation Living Museum, 400 years old, changed to be more inclusive and respectful. And it is now Plymouth Patuxet to include the Native Americans that live in that region. Or lived in that region at the time of this.
So wait a minute. Hang on just a second. A minute.
Mm-hmm.
The pilgrims, they happened to find the land. And if you find this coincidental, they happened to find the land that was abandoned by the Native Americans because the Native Americans felt that that land was cursed because a tribe had been wiped out with some disease years before. And so it was completely abandoned. So we're changing it to an Indian name?
Yeah. Yes.
What are you talking about?
And by the way, the Patuxet people have been extinct since 1622. So they're not even around to realize this honor that they're being given. So
this was right. This is nuts. This is absolutely nuts. They are changing everything. Next hour, we're going to show you there's an effort now to get rid of the national anthem as well.
It's a big effort, too. And it's got some momentum.
Oh, huge. Yeah. Yeah, it does. And you know, the 1619 project, do you know that Oprah Winfrey is now producing a movie that's going to come out based on the 1619 project, which is a lie.
Wow.
It's a verifiable lie. And she's pushing that. I mean, Second Tower Gang, when are you going to have your Second Tower moment? We are under attack. And it is happening rapidly.
So fast. So fast. I mean, things that you couldn't have imagined 6 months ago are already done now. Not only are they not opposed, it's already been done. And you don't even know that it's happened. You know, the Star-Spangled Banner, the statues that are being removed or being discussed to be removed, the founders that are disparaged now, and you can't even say anything good about the founders. All of, you know, how many times do you have to play the Michelle Obama thing? They've changed what they set
out
to do.
Hang on, Michelle, what was it that Barack knows?
And Barack knows that we are going to have to make sacrifices. Mm-hmm. We are going to have to change our conversation. We're going to have to change our traditions, our history. We're going to have to move into a different place.
We are 10 years past the fundamental transformation of America. This is what, in all of the warnings that we gave you when we were at Fox. I mean, Pat, you were part of that research team. Stu, you were as well. All of that. Can you name anything that we said was coming that isn't now here?
No, and I think and then some. There were things that I don't think we could have imagined back then that have already transpired, and we put a very little fight on any of it. It's
well,
chilling.
There's some good news. First of all, voters, and according to a new poll, majorities of almost all demographic groups measured to see cancel culture. They see it as bad. Just under half of the voters under 45 hold that view. Among the voters, 46% see cancel culture. I don't know why, because it is a cancer. See it as bad. 26% say it's a good thing. Now, that is astonishing to think that 26% of Americans think this McCarthy era that we're living in is a good thing. But if you look back in the 1950s, this is what we went through with communism. It was just the opposite. You'd lose your job. You were convicted if accused. It was a witch hunt then, and it's a witch hunt now. Only 17% of voters see cancel culture as a good thing. The problem is the very liberal voters, those who say that they're very liberal, 31% see it as good, 37% see it as bad, 32% aren't sure. You know, if you're not sure, you should probably do something to get sure. One way or another, there's no place for you. Rounding people up and just making them disappear. Good, bad. I'm not sure.
It's so hard to decide on matters like that.
And what do you guys think? Do you really figure that stuff out before or after you vote? Is there a time? Wait, is there a specific order you need to do these things in? Like, do you learn and then
I would say
vote,
figure
or
it
do you
out
vote
now.
And then learn.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would say figure it out now. Oh, you know who's figuring it out are the Christians in California. I just said yesterday, churches, you better wake up and you better stand up. I believe I condemned people to hell yesterday.
I think you did.
Which, well, I didn't actually. I didn't condemn them. I just know that they're going to hell.
But you're not their judge. Anyway, I mean, all you're saying is they're going to burn in the fires of hell. That's all. I mean, that's...
Yeah. So? Everlasting and eternal fire. Yeah. That lake of ever burning fire. Yeah, they're there. I'm not their judge. Anyway, yesterday I was talking about churches waking up, and it looks like in California it is starting to happen. Some of the church leaders are saying they are not going to shut down again. San Francisco and the American Russian Orthodox Archbishop wrote a open letter to Governor Newsom, said that his ban on singing is open discrimination, reminiscent of the era of the godless persecutions in the USSR. It's about time somebody starts using this language. We now observe the contradiction that in mass protests that are taking place, which absolutely all precautions are violated with impunity, adding the church into saying that you have to close down. They said they will defend their rights of the members to continue to worship. And there are lots of churches that are starting to rise up. And that's in California. And they need to. You can't lose the right of your religion and your faith and to worship. That is a protected right. And I love the fact that all the politicians are saying, you know what? Protest, that's a First Amendment right. So is my house of worship. And you need to stand together as Christians, as Jews, whoever. We need to stand together because, you know, we can argue about theology for a long time and we'll all be destroyed doing that. What do you say? We stand together now and stand up for the things that we all believe in. And then we can argue about the other stuff later. I'm just saying.
And they're so blatant about it. We had this speech from de Blasio. Was it last week or the week before, where he was asked, well, hey, how can you say, because there was a BLM protest coming up and he was perfectly fine with that. But he didn't want people going back to church. And so they asked him about that disparity. And he said, well, you can't compare the two. Those are apples and oranges because the BLM people are doing something really important. Wait, what?
Oh my gosh. What? Oh my gosh.
So they've just,
oh my gosh,
they don't care anymore. It's like you said, the mask is off. Obviously, figuratively speaking, it's on literally speaking, but they've taken off the mask about how they really feel about religion, about capitalism, about this country and everything it stands for. Our founders, it's just all out there in the open. And if this doesn't alarm us to the point of taking a stand, nothing will.
Nothing will. Nothing will. I read an op-ed piece yesterday about the two tower kind of philosophy, that have you had your second tower experience? And I was really just struck by that is so right on the money. But when are people, when is the average American, or have they, and they're just being quiet? I don't know. Yeah. When is the average American going to have their second tower kind of moment?
My second tower kind of moment was when I realized that when wearing a face mask, I cannot unlock my iPhone with the stupid face thing. It is a travesty, a sham, and a mockery. It's a travesham mockery, and it must end. Stupid Apple, get a program that reads through my face mask and will recognize me so I don't have to type in my freaking code, which takes seconds.
Oh, they will.
Be careful what you ask for.
Can I tell you something?
It's probably already in the making.
I lost my glasses someplace here. My wife was like, where did you put them? I'm like, I don't know. I lost them outside. So someplace where the cattle and the antelope roam. So I put my old glasses on and I tried to open up my computer. It didn't recognize my face. And I'm like, maybe Clark Kent was, maybe that was true. Apple can't recognize my face with a pair of glasses.
Oh, that's not bad.
Wow. Holy cow.
The worst one is when you when you realize you've gotten so fat, it no longer thinks you're the same person.
That is a bad realization there.
That legitimately happened to me before. And it's like, God, no, who the hell are you?
Wow.
What fat version
maybe
of that old?
That's what it is. Hey, that's what it is. Man, I spent like 12 hours in the hospital this last weekend because I had kidney stones. Oh my gosh, Pat, you know what that's like. And we can only hope that Stu joins us on this
very soon.
Yes.
No.
Very soon. But that was incredible. But they pumped me full of so much water that I got out. They put, I said a gallon and a half. I can't remember how much water they pumped into me. But they pumped in so much fluid, I got out and I looked like I had gained 30 pounds. And they're like, you got to keep drinking water. And I'm like, not if it makes me look like this, dude.
No. Oh, wait a minute. I was just gonna say, did you do it again this morning? Because
shut up, you jerk.
The best of the Glenn Beck program.
Hey, it's Glenn, and you're listening to the Glenn Beck Program. If you like what you're hearing on this show, make sure you check out Pat Gray Unleashed. It's available wherever you download your favorite podcasts.
And
And in other news today that makes an awful lot of sense, the city of Chicago has been under a shadow that is, it was cast by the flu pandemic and a surge in violence. Well, we still don't know what caused the violence. Probably white people. But Mayor Lori Lightfoot is calling in a hero to tackle a different problem in Chicago: the low response rates for the U.S. Census. Apparently, her goal was to have at least 70% of the people fill out the census. It's now being filled out by only about 40% of the people of Chicago. So yesterday in a press conference, which I think was very, very brave of her, she said, "When I was a kid, I loved the Batman TV show. And when the city of Gotham had a real difficult challenge, one of the things that the mayor did was he called out and sent out a distress signal to Batman." And I'm not sure if Mayor Lightfoot knows that Batman isn't real, but she went on to say, "So I'm doing something similar for the census. I'm happy to report. I'm calling out the census cowboy." I mean, who in the inner cities of Chicago don't love cowboys? I mean, first of all, cowboys were killing Indians. Cowboys are part of the problem with America, right? So if the census, she said, if the census cowboy comes into your neighborhood, that's not a good thing. Of course not. Cowboys are bad. She said, that means you gotta step up and do your part and fill out the census. And that's all the news that makes sense if you're completely hammered out of your mind.
This is the best of the Glenn Beck program.
So last week we played a video that went viral online. I want to play it again and I want you to listen to this.
Hey, Wokey McWokeface. Quick question. This black life mattered. But doesn't this
Martin
one?
Martin Luther King.
We know this black life matters.
A unborn
matters,
baby.
But why doesn't this one?
George Floyd.
We believe that all baby. These black lives mattered. And tens of millions of others too. Murdered in the most dangerous place in this country for any black life. A womb. Murdered and dissected and sold.
Jeez.
We believe that each and every human life matters because every human life, regardless of culture or color, is crafted in the sacred image of Almighty God, which is the only possible reason why any life could matter at all. We believe that secular progressive white supremacists have been running a vile and genocidal population Jeez. Control campaign against blacks in America that has straddled centuries, trying to keep them from life, from adulthood, from power, from stable families and communities. And that matters. We believe that the organization Black Lives Matter, registered trademark, is a Marxist front that doesn't care about black lives even half as much as an average white pro-life flyover Trump-voting evangelical. Every single black life matters, from conception to the grave, and beyond into eternity. That is God's truth, and it's a hell of a lot more than BLM can say. This shouldn't be hard, but clear thinking is rare these days, especially on college campuses. All lives matter. All black lives matter. All. Behind a badge. On the street. In the womb. Philosophy matters. Theology matters. History matters. Thinking matters. Learn to think in unthinking times. New St. Andrews College. Clear thinking, clear teaching. In person this fall.
Jeez. Dr. Ben Merkel is with us. He's the president of New St. Andrews College. Ben, how are you, sir?
I am well. Thanks so much for having me on.
So, how much heat did you get for that?
It's gotten considerable. We had our mayor pretty upset at us and say something in a local paper. And we've had, but to be honest, actually, I have to say the positive response has been outweighed by about 95% to 5%, because I think a lot of people are so sick of being told that they're racist because they don't support BLM. And I think that we were able to say what a lot of people sort of intuitively felt, but weren't hearing anybody articulate it clearly.
And who came up with this idea? Whose brainchild was this? And
our marketing team here, we've got some friends that we hired to put this together, but they're all graduates from our college.
So I've never heard of New St. Andrews College. You're in, of all places, Moscow, Idaho, right?
That's right. Yeah, we're the other Moscow. Yeah, very small private Christian college in North Idaho. So a very small little school. So it's understandable. A lot of people don't know about our existence.
And how long have you been around?
We started in 1994. We grew out of the classical Christian education movement. It started in 1980, and then we're a college that tends to pull from kids who have done classical Christian education.
So, Ben, you know, we're looking at our colleges now, and none of them seem to have a spine. I mean, I just told the audience about Penn State, where they took conservative off of the "you're welcome here" because of backlash from their students and faculty. What's really happening to our university system, and do we survive this?
Well, I think we could survive it, but it would take a really bold change for us to do it. I mean, I don't think Americans, we complain a lot as conservatives about what we see as the deep state, the sort of unelected mechanism that seems to run our country but can't be held accountable. And I don't think we realize how much education is the ultimate deep state, both K-12 and also colleges. The faculty and staff of most colleges, including your Christian colleges, are dominated by progressive left ideology. Mm-hmm. Every teacher votes Democrat. It's really total how much the left has taken over education, and I think that's why. I mean, I was listening to your show earlier, and you were talking about how swiftly everything seems to have changed. But I think that's because we have slowly had basically an entire generation indoctrinated in a way that we didn't really realize was happening, and now we're seeing the fruition of it. But it's also, I mean, there are other elements in education. I think that the way education is funded is a big part of it. The federal money has such big strings that are attached to it and steer you in terms of your ideology. And then the way accreditation and other things like that work, it really cultivates a leadership class that is all about demonstrating compliance. Like you're not going to see college administration make any kind of bold move because they got there by demonstrating compliance over decades and decades of their professional life. So they're allergic to those kinds of decisions.
It's also unreasonable to think that a school system funded by a federal government is going to teach don't trust a federal government. Don't trust the government. Right. You know, you have to think independently. You have to think for yourself. There's no way. How we expected that to happen is beyond me.
Yeah.
But they haven't been teaching that for a long time.
Yeah, all real true government begins with self-government. It has to start there, and then, you know, your own self-discipline, your own self-government then makes possible other real government. But yeah, our institutions really depend on compliance with a larger state. So that's not going to be something that they're going to inculcate in our students.
For the person who is thinking, well, I got to send my kid to college, and they're going into college this, you know, this fall. What do you right. say to that parent?
You know, I think you've got to ask some hard questions. I think that a lot of parents, they have the impression that, okay, I know that the colleges are generally liberal, but they remember going to the college in the 80s and the 90s, and they remember bumping up against those kinds of things. And they assume that everybody's talking about the same kind of college that they went to. And they don't realize how radically transformed the college campus is. It's nothing like what we went through. So you need to ask some hard questions. And I think that I'm torn because I go back and forth. On the one hand, people are paying exorbitant amounts of money for an education that gives them no real education whatsoever and hardly any actual professional skills. And so in a lot of ways, I see the movement for, like, we'll just go to a trade school and learn a trade. That's mm-hmm. a much quicker way to get into a job and to avoid the debt and the indoctrination. But at the same time, the reason why we're at the place that we are right now, it's not because we haven't learned how to employ professional skills. It's because we haven't learned how to think.
Yep.
And I think that
exactly right.
we need to reprioritize critical thinking at the college level, because that's what we have lost. And now it's not that we can't get a job. It's that we have destroyed our entire economy.
Well, you can't learn to think from Wokey McWoke face, as your ad put it. You can't
That's right.
learn critical thinking if you are told there are things that you can't think, can't say, and things are bad. I mean, I don't understand how academia doesn't realize they have become the old church in the Dark Ages, where we'll lock you in a tower if you disagree with us. That's what's happening yeah. to us now, and they don't seem to see that.
Yeah, well, I think a lot of it has to do with just that ultimate rejection, well, the rejection of ultimate truth. So when you reject ultimate truth, then what you have, everybody reverts to their own personal truth. And then what happens is that you're dominated by personal emotion. And so, like, if you try to interact with somebody at a BLM protest, you're not going to get an actual argument. What you'll get is them sort of vomiting up their emotion, because that's what they've been trained thinking is. But in the traditional West, we understood that there was a transcendent truth that we all answered to, and argument was about understanding these transcendent principles that we then looked to apply consistently in our lives and in how we treated others. And that's where logic comes from. That's where philosophy comes from. That's where theology comes from. So you have this larger transcendent truth that you live under, and it provides the kind of cultural success that the West has had for millennia. But they're rejecting all of that, and so all they can do is burn it down.